Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Well, there's been so much hype about this book that we could not talk about it here on Open House. Yes, 50 Shades of Grey, sold up to 50 million copies worldwide, set a record as the fastest selling paperback of all time, surpassing, yes, even the great Harry Potter series. Despite all the talk, the response to the novel has been very mixed, actually. So our highly esteemed book reviewer, Cara Martin, has taken a deep breath and leapt into 50 Shades of Grey. Let's see what she's made of it all. Cara, welcome back.
Thank you very
this
much.
This might Lee. Be considered courageous, as they would have said on Yes, Prime Minister.
It was hard work reading.
Yeah. So what did you make of it all?
Well, it's very interesting. I'll just give an outline to the book. Actually, it's been in the press this weekend where this book actually started from. Not many people realise, but it was actually written on a website that was for fans of Twilight. And the idea of the people who wrote on this website was to imagine Bella and Edward from Twilight in different situations. And this author, E.L. James, is actually Erica Leonard, and she decided what she would do is put Bella and Edward in a situation where Edward was into bondage and discipline sexual practices and see where that took her. And so originally when this was written, they had the names Bella and Edward, and now it's been changed to uni student Anna, who meets Christian Grey, who in this case is a rich businessman, successful entrepreneur. But yes, he spots Anna as a possible submissive for his dominant sexual practices. So he woos her, he buys her a computer and a car, clothes, a phone, and he tries to entrap her in his lifestyle.
Has there been anything like this phenomenon before approaching it?
I think there's lots of erotic literature out there.
Yes, of course, yes.
And there's been books that have been banned before. I think what's different about this is that it's taken a book that would normally have been seen as porn and made it mainstream. And so it's had the title of mummy porn and erotica or erotic romance, which sort of seems to cross over that boundary. It's sort of given people, okay, you know, we know this is a little bit titillating, but it's okay to read it. And so you're finding this book on huge piles in Big W and Kmart and Target. Like, you can just go along and pick it up for less than $10.
It's going out the door backwards.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's it exploring? What's it promoting?
Well, I think it's setting up this idea of erotic fantasy. And I think what happens is it is actually saying that you read a book not for the quality of the writing or the characters or the plot, because frankly, it is agony to read this book for those reasons.
Like in terms of literature, you mean?
Oh, yes. It's just terrible. It is so poorly written. I'll just give you a quick example. Anna, the uni student, she's graduating in English literature, and yet the best way that she can describe her deep love for Christian Grey is to say, "Holy crap, he is so hot."
Oh, really?
Which is a phrase that actually occurs several times.
Really?
Yes.
You can't do any better than that.
I think it's what this book is all about is about titillation for the reader. And this book is actually promoting, I don't know if the author really intended this, but it actually makes sexual practices that were sort of fringe more mainstream as well. Not only has it made this literature, which used to be sort of a bit off the shelf and you'd have to look to find it, it's made it part of, you know, you walk in the door and there it is. You can buy it anywhere, anytime. But it's also made these sexual practices more mainstream too. It's spawned a whole new genre of literature called cliterature, which is, we're going to have books like this because it's been so successful.
In a couple of weeks' time, I'm speaking with Patricia Wirrekoon, a very famous and well-informed medical doctor and sexologist. Mm. She says, whereas men look at porn, women read.
Mm.
And she also says that this is just taking off. Many of the publishers are going to people like her and saying, can you write something like this? Because there's such an appetite for it.
That is scary. And I think, I think in some ways, if Patricia wrote something, at least I would know that she's coming from a background of research and aware of the psychological and the physical effects of some of this stuff. What we have instead is probably a very naive first-time writer describing sexual practices. I'm not sure if she's even experienced, and then sort of inviting people to try them. One of the horrific statistics is that in New York City, the New York Post reported that rope sales went up tenfold within weeks of this book coming out, and kinky sales of kinky toys and sex shops went up 30%. So this is actually having a direct flow-on effect to people experimenting.
And with its availability, is there a concern for its availability to young girls?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I went out and bought this book, there were three 14-year-old girls who were reading it. I know they were 14 because they were from my daughter's school. And as I walked up, they sort of giggled. And then I picked up the book and they giggled more and they were sort of flicking through and just reading this stuff. And I think that's one of my big fears. If this book was a magazine like those guys are reading, then it would be covered in plastic. It would be restricted in sales. It'd have warnings on it. If it was a video, it would have warnings and labels and things like this. There is nothing about this book that actually says it contains incredibly explicit material.
It's one of the reasons I think it's important for us to have a conversation about this. Mm. Other than the rubbish writing, what other concerns do you have about this?
One of my big concerns about it is that it's just not describing a healthy relationship. So Christian Grey is actually a Munster and he's obsessive, and yet people are saying that this is romance. So he's actually a stalker. He actually tracks Anna's phone. He turns up where she is when she's not expecting him. She is sworn to secrecy. She's not allowed to tell anyone about what she's doing, which is similar to the Twilight thing. But those sort of obsessive, stalking, secret behaviours, I think, are very dangerous and damaging. And for someone to describe that as romance, I think, is just such a terrible concept of what a healthy relationship is. It's just really sad. Another thing is that I'm really concerned about is that Anna comes out with a whole load of lines that is very characteristic of women in abusive relationships. So she says things, and these are quotes, "That is just the way he is." In other words, you know, we're just going to have to let him be.
And I just wonder how much progress we've made over the last three or four decades with the feminist movement when you hear that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's so sad, this idea that I can change him, I can make him see the light. And the one quote, which is just so horrible, but anyway, she says, "If I agree to let him spank me, he might tell me more about him." So she's yearning to know this guy and have a proper relationship with him. And she thinks if she lets him do what he wants to do, which she doesn't enjoy, then maybe he will reveal a little more of who he is to her. And I think those sort of things are just terrible messages to tell girls. And I think the other thing is, having read this book, it is addictive in a way. It's disturbing, but it is addictive. It's written, it's actually designed to titillate the reader. It's designed to hook you in and for you to go, oh, and read it a bit more, and then guilty pleasure, that sort of idea. And I think that's a really sad thing to be trapped in.
This is one thing though I love about you. You've found some comfort in some verses in the Bible for those who want to escape 50 Shades.
Well, that was the thing. After I read it, I actually felt dirty. Yeah. I'd ruined my mind with this crap. But, I read some really good verses that really encouraged me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, "But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much. He made us alive with Christ, and God's wonderful kindness is what saves you." That's what real relationship is, sacrifice and love and kindness. And then another one, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love." And that's a healthy relationship. That's a healthy love.
Yes.
So I really want to celebrate that.
I feel a little better now. Cara Mountain, thank you so much.
Thank you.
An important conversation to have, as we say.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.